Hi, my name is Sarah Carlson. I'm with Practical Farmers of Iowa. Today I'm going to talk about cover crops interseeded into corn and soybeans. I normally give presentations to farmers for 1 hour, so I'm going to try to really be tight with my presentation today. And I'm going to give you actually the conclusions on my next slide. So before we get started, we started this campaign called Don't Farm Naked Plant Cover Crops a number of years ago to help farmers have a playful discussion about why cover crops are so important and why they should have roots living in the ground year-round to improve water quality, reduce soil erosion, you know, all the reasons why we want to do cover crops. And now we have farmers that want to take the next step with cover crops, and so interseeding cover crops, they're really interested in that, and so I did a meta-analysis on the published data. So my conclusions, in case I don't get there, are farmers want consistent cover crop stands, and they don't get it from aerial application, and I'll explain what we do in Iowa. Soybean yield was negatively impacted with cover crops at all planting dates, and that was before soybeans were planted, the day of soybean planting date, and 1 to 15 days after soybean planting date was when the published literature had tested. Corn yield was increased when cover crops were interseeded 15 to 30 days after corn planting, but was neutral across the other planting dates. It was highly variable, as you can imagine, when cover crops were planted before corn was planted, corn yield was highly variable. And then Makuna and Pigeon Pea yielded the most of the cover crops in the study when biomass was reported. Soybean Medic and a mixture of Crimson Clover, Lentil, and Winter Wheat were the least. Has anybody ever conducted a meta-analysis before? Getting published data, numerical data, is the worst thing ever. So there are a lot of studies out there, and you get graphs, and you don't get the numbers. And so I had to whittle through quite a few studies to get actual data. And so the abstract in the program is on data that might not have been numerically published, but my research that I'm going to show you here is from when we could actually get that numerical data. So really quick, this is what Practical Farmers works on. We're a growing organization in the state. We've been around for 30 years in Iowa. We do a lot of on-farm research, and then we help farmers talk about that on-farm research through field days. And they've been coming to us wanting to do different things with cover crops. Over the 30 years that we've been helping them, these are the things they said they've changed on their farms. So you can see a lot of the basic soil health things that we would want them to be changing. And then this is what they say they still need help with. So we're going to continue to work on cover crops for a long time because they're overwhelmingly telling us that's what they want research on. So once they try things out, they get together, like at our cover crop boot camp a number of years ago, and they talk about ways to convince other farmers, like their neighbors, to do cover crops. And then with these folks, across 70 events last year, we hit 13,000 people face-to-face. And in many of those discussions where they were sharing information, or me or Stefan, my colleague, were partnering with them, interseeding cover crops keeps coming up. So when we got started on this project, the Risk Management Agency's allowance for farmers to do cover cropping said, you can see in red right there, as long as the cover crop is seeded near physiological maturity of an insured crop, meaning corn or soybeans, you can do that. And so physiological maturity in Iowa is sometime in Labor Day period, sometime in September for corn and soybeans. All of a sudden, that language was taken out in the middle of my analysis, and so now it's gone. This is what the cover crop information says on Risk Management's website now. So that doesn't mean that we're all free to seed at V6 seeding time, interseeding time, because we probably need agronomic data on it still. But this allows farmers a lot more latitude to do testing on their farms. Okay, so this is how we seed cover crops in Iowa on the majority of our acres. I'd say southern Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, northern Illinois, they do this too. We're overseeding when corn and soybeans are nearing physiological maturity. We're using planes, or we're using modified highboys or expensive highboys. And so we want to get that crop in, exactly what Rebecca said, when we plant after crop harvest and then we terminate early the next spring, we don't get a lot of rye growth, we don't get a lot of cover crop growth. So we want to take advantage of the GDDs that are out there and get an earlier planting date. This is what then the fall looks like while we're harvesting. We've got that green cover there, and this costs us about $12 to $18 per acre to have that green carpet. But this time period is highly variable. We don't always get good rainfall around Labor Day. The plane might miss the one rain that we're going to hit the end of August, and so farmers are unsatisfied. You're shaking your head like you've seen this. Farmers are unsatisfied with Labor Day planting time period. So interseeding is sort of like the next place that farmers want to go. In 2014, this is a picture of clover interseeded into corn. This was up in northeast Iowa. This guy really hit a good year, a lot of moisture in 2014, so the cover crop survived. And this was seeded around the V6 time of corn. And then we can see annual ryegrass. This was taken this year in the summer at a field day, and this was northwest Iowa, so close to South Dakota area. And this picture was taken in July of 2015, and this is annual ryegrass interseeded into corn. Okay, so to do my meta-analysis, I used these key search terms. I used Google Scholar. I used the citations of publications. When I got a good publication, then I searched those pubs. You know, standard things that you would do to do a meta-analysis. Then we created this large data set, and then we said, okay, these publications, if they didn't do corn or soybean yield, I don't want them. I don't care about corn silage or sorghum. I just want corn and soybeans. Cover crops had to be seeded within 95 days of planting. Yes, there are plenty of studies when we're seeding cover crops at physiological maturity and later, but I already kind of know that doesn't affect corn and soybean yield, so I want before that. And then I needed to have the cover crop species, the planting date of that species, and the main crop yield published, or I needed to be able to get a hold of the author and get the actual numbers. And that's a real challenge with a meta-analysis. Some of these studies were done in 1988, and the person's not even live anymore. Okay, so study locations, this is where the studies were at, so across the world. Obviously, it was great there was a bunch up in North America, some in Alabama, though, within North America. So we took what we could get. 14 studies total were in my meta-analysis. 2 had soybeans and 12 had corn. And these are the cover crops that were assessed, mostly legumes on that list. Which kind of surprised me, since corn was in 12 of my studies. I was surprised that we were interseeding legumes into corn, but that I guess makes sense because folks thought they could get a nitrogen boost in the corn year from that legume instead of me thinking we need a grass because we're going to soybeans, so we better get a good establishment of a grass. So for better or for worse, that's what we got. And then these are the seeding dates before cash crop planting, same day of cash crop planting, 1 to 14 days, 15 to 30, 31 to 60, and 61 to 95. I kind of categorized them. This is in kilograms per hectare. And then here is a smattering of the data. So where you see NA is where there was cover crops tested, but no reporting of the biomass, which was really irritating. Where I have a number, obviously they reported the biomass, and that's fantastic. And then where there's the dashes, they did not test at that planting date. Okay, so this is kind of typical for meta-analysis. So take-home messages here, I mean, it's hard to say because there's different planting dates and different locations. Within each study, sometimes they tested, like here you can see hairy vetch. These two were in the same study. So here we could see, that earlier planting date was probably not as good for hairy vetch as the later planting date, right? Because more sunlight into the canopy. But we didn't always have those planting date comparisons. So I didn't really run any analysis on this. I just wanted to show you so you know what we're working with. Okay, so then for the yield of corn and soybeans, I calculated the yield response, which was yield with the cover crop over a control. And then I tested which moderating variables might explain some of the differences. So days after planting, which is what I'm going to report. Then I tried to run analysis with cover crop species, the above ground biomass that was reported, nitrogen fertilizer rate, and weed control. There were lots of information. I have that all in a raw data set. If anybody wants to play with that, I will give it to you. But I'm not going to report that today. Okay, so to the results. So here's the different planting dates at the bottom. This is a response variable, so a number 1 would mean neutral yield, so no effect on yield. And I just threw up their 95% confidence intervals because it seems like this is the easiest way to think about this data. So first one, if my bars here work, okay, I explained that. Okay, here we go. So 15 to 30 days was significantly different from same day of corn planting as we'd expect. And 15 to 30 days was always above 1, which was somewhat surprising at that time period. I excluded data when it was reported of the cover crop biomass that was 0 or failed to establish when I knew that. So sometimes there might have been cover crop that wasn't reported and they didn't report that it failed to establish, and it might be in that 15 to 30 day period. Before corn planting, you know, we have high variability in yield response, and it's usually negative, so 80% of the control, basically. And then the other three planting dates, 1 to 15 days, 31 to 60 days, and 61 to 95 days, mostly neutral, hovering around that one line. And this is kind of where farmers are mostly going to be planting cover crops into corn. So sort of within a month or just a little bit underneath that. This is when they can get into the field by themselves, when they can seed with their own equipment. So this is probably the time period that they're going to want to look to go into corn. And so this speaks favorably that they could maybe get away with establishing cover crops into corn and not have huge problems with corn yield. Okay, then soybean yield. Again, we have the number one here with the response variable that would be neutral. And we see soybean yield mostly negative when we planted before before soybean yield was planted. Same day of soybean planting and 1 to 14 days after soybean planting. This before study was using cassava, and cassava yielded something like 12,000 kilograms per hectare. So obviously that amount of competition with soybean is going to have a negative effect on soybean. Total calories produced per acre in that study, though, was better than cassava by itself or soybeans by itself, as we would expect. But in the Midwest, we don't grow cassava, and we really want to sell soybeans. So we want to make sure that we don't affect that commodity yield while we're trying to interseed these cover crops. So mostly negative. Probably could have expected this. There was a study that was done that didn't report data, unfortunately. They just reported significance and not significance. And they seeded later into the soybean season, so they were more in the 15 to 30-day time period. And they found no significant difference on soybean yield. But again, I couldn't run analysis on the data because they didn't publish the numbers. But the cover crop grew tall enough to stain the bottoms of the soybeans, and so then that kicked those beans out from the market. So although yield was not affected, the market was affected. That study was done in Minnesota. Oh, good, I'm right on time. Okay, so my conclusions, which I've already told you. So farmers want consistent cover crop stands. Interseeding is kind of the next area they want to go to. Most of them are broadcast seeding. They're not incorporating. And I saw a presentation this morning using like a nitrogen toolbar to incorporate. That may be something we want to think about. These studies, some broadcasted, some used incorporation in the meta-analysis. Soybean yield was mostly was negatively impacted for all those three planting dates that I showed. Corn yield was increased in that 15 to 30 day after planting range, neutral across the others, and highly variable when cover crops were established before corn planting. And then Mucuna and Pigeon Pea were the highest, and soybean medic and that mixture were the least. Questions? Yes?
When you look at this data, what was the weed control program for some of this? Because it seems like the weed program might
Right, so I did write down all the herbicides that they were able to get away with in standing corn with a legume down, with a broadleaf down. So they were, a lot of them work, I'm surprised, herbicide weed control management. Some did some sort of tillage, then established the cover crop, and then cleaned it up with an herbicide. Some hand weeded. So sometimes I had the perfect combination of with cover crop, weedy control, and then weed-free cover crop and weed-free control. That was great when I had those matching controls. And so I ran analysis on when they controlled weeds well versus weed-free, and I assumed weed-free was tillage or hand-weeded or herbicide, and weedy would have been no control. And there was a difference. And it was because in the weedy, the cover crop failed to establish, and they didn't control it as a weed, right? Which is like RMA's biggest nightmare, that a farmer will establish cover crops and then not control weeds, and the cover crop won't establish to control weeds. So there are herbicides out there that they were able to use to manage weeds while they had broadleaf covers down.
All right, we move on. Let's thank Sarah.
Thank you.